Amen. Today we conclude our series on Firmly Anchored, and today's anchor is that of godly friends, the importance of godly friends. So if you would please open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, we'll look at verses 12 and 13. How important is it to have godly friends? It is so very, very important. Not just for us Christian, but certainly for our young folks, for our graduates, for all believers. Godly friends direct us, move us, and make an impact on our lives. Here we see Peter the apostle is referring to some godly friends in these two verses. Here we go, verse 12. Through Silvanus, our faithful brother, for so I regard him, I've written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon, these are believers in Rome, Christians in Rome, chosen together with you, sends you greetings. And so does my son Mark. That's John Mark, author of the third gospel. Here we find a reference to three godly friends, and what we'll see is why they're godly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time we have to open your Bible. We thank you for the music we've sung, we've heard so wonderfully sung. And I pray, God, that you'll bless our minds today. Help us to realize why it's important for us to have godly, committed, faithful friends. I pray for these watching online, for these here in the building, and certainly for those that will hear this message in our graduates' message today in the gym. God, speak to our hearts. Refresh us. And let us be thankful for the godly friends we have. In Jesus' name, amen. In 36 years as a pastor, I've never begun a message with a real obituary, but I'd like to do that today. And here it is. Erica Buschick, 18, passed away suddenly Friday while attending her dream school, Miami University of Ohio. She was born August 6, 1998. That is so young. Erica graduated from Warren Township in school as a proud member of the National Honor Society. She survived by her loving parents, Eric and Donna Buschick, her sisters and best friends, Danielle and Lauren, grandparents, Ed and Lola. Visitation will be held Friday from 1 to 6:30 p.m. at St. Paul the Apostle Church. What took the life of this 18-year-old honors student? Was it bad friends, bad judgment, or both? You decide. When Erica got to campus, she got involved in what's called the Greek life, sorority life. Her friends participated in Green Beer Day for St. Patrick's Day. They also participated in parties and nightclubs and tailgate parties. On Friday night, January 20th, Eric and her roommate began drinking at 10 p.m., consuming two bottles of champagne between the two of them. Then they filled up their empty water bottle with vodka, went to a house party with other friends. Throughout the night, Eric and her friend consumed large amounts of champagne and vodka. Then Erica and her friend went to a bar, but she was refused entry to the bar because she was too drunk. She and her friend called a cab, but Erica collapsed while getting out of the cab, so the taxi driver literally had to carry her up to her room because she was unable to walk. EMTs were called the next morning, and they found her dead body. Her blood alcohol was four times the legal limit, cause of death, ethanol intoxication. Was her death due to bad alcohol? It's all bad. Bad friends or bad judgment? If Erica had godly friends, she might be alive today. How about this other real obituary? Laura Ann Gorman, 18, of St. Petersburg, Florida, died Saturday. Born in St. Petersburg, she attended elementary and middle school at St. Jude School, was a member of the Cathedral of St. Jude the Apostle, attended Holy Cross Catholic Church. She was a graduate of Gibbs High School. She was cheerleader all 4 years. She was named the most improved of all varsity cheerleaders. She won first place in the Gus Stavros Free Enterprise Essay Contest. Who's who among American high school students? A member of the National Honor Society, class salutatorian. She was currently in her freshman year at Eckerd College as a business major. What took the life of this 18-year-old honor student? Bad friends, bad judgment, or both? You decide. Laura had a friend named Jessica who admittedly loved to dance and party and have fun. That means drink. Laura and Jessica went to a nightclub in Ybor City, and after dancing, they did liquor shots. This went on until 3 a.m. The two women finally left the club, got in a car. Jessica got behind the wheel. Driving down I-275, a mile from the dorm, the car went over an embankment and hit a tree. Jessica was barely alive, but badly injured. Laura was dead from blunt force trauma. Her blood alcohol level was 1.5 times the legal limit. A month after the accident, she was charged with DUI manslaughter. There's a sign on I-275 in St. Pete that marks the exact spot Laura died. It says, in memory of Laura Gorman. What killed her? Bad friends? Bad judgment? Or both? Our graduates will face great temptation when they leave for college. Having godly friends will not only lessen the risks and temptation, I believe it'll remove those risks and temptation. So what's a godly friend? We all need godly friends. What do they look like? Peter told us here in today's verses, in his final greetings to three different believers. These three kinds of godly friends will not only keep us from being led astray, but they're the kinds of friends that we ought to strive to be for others. What type of friends should we have, try to be, whether going to college or not? Here they are. First of all, we need godly friends that are faithful believers. Faithful believers. Verse 12, first phrase, through Silvanus, our faithful brother, for so I regard him. I've written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. Now, Silvanus was none other than Silas, the Apostle Paul's close missionary partner and comrade on his second and third missionary journeys. Silas was beaten and imprisoned along with Paul. He was placed with his feet in stocks along with Paul. Silas sang hymns to God along with Paul, causing the other prisoners to listen. Silas and Paul shared the gospel with the jailer and his family. Silas went with Paul to Thessalonica, Berea, Corinth. Like Timothy and Luke, Silas was valuable to Paul because he believed the gospel needed to go to the Gentiles. He was faithful. Peter called him our faithful brother. And the reason he was chosen by the church to go with Paul on that second missionary journey was because he was a leader in the church. Now, Silas is usually mentioned in conjunction with Paul or Timothy, and many believe that he was actually the one that penned the epistle for Peter himself. That's called an amanuensis, the person who actually wrote it. Silas might not get a lot of glory and limelight in the Bible, but he was a faithful believer. As we find him in Scripture, we find him doing what believers ought to be doing. After the Jerusalem Council, Acts 15:22 says Silas went to Antioch to communicate the council's decision that Gentiles needed only faith in salvation. Christ alone, only faith to be saved. A decision that big needed someone who was reliable and honest and trustworthy and faithful. And Silas was that guy. He was faithful, like a lot of our men here at Scott Lake. Faithful guys like Harry Crosby and Cecil Grenade, Bob Hansel, Seth Stevens, Mike Martin, Alan Hearn, all of our deacons and pastors and staff, really. Someone who can say, imitate me and live the way that I live and do what I do. Watch me. That's the kind of guy Silas was. The kind of friends we all need. Not just those who claim to be Christians, but those who back up the claim with a track record, an observable track record of faithfulness. Those who are doers of the word, not just hearers. Believers who pray and are active at church and who know their Bibles and who are the kind of godly friends we all need. And we need to be those kind of friends even if we don't have any. When picking a friend, pick those who are faithful. Pick those who reflect the character and wisdom and faithfulness of Christ. Pick those who are already actively plugged in a church, who think and talk of spiritual things, and whose minds are set on things above, not just the things of this world. If these two 18-year-old freshmen had had those kind of friends, instead of those who partied and went to nightclubs, and well, they might be alive this morning. Everybody's responsible for their own actions. That's true. But it's also true bad morals can corrupt good company. And you always become like those with whom you associate. So make sure you associate with godly, faithful, committed believers who are committed to Christ. These believers probably won't be the most popular folks that you know. Not many people have heard of the name Tychicus and Epaphras. But the Bible calls both of these little-known men faithful. Just as not many people have heard the name Silas or Silvanus. Still, these are the kind of believers we need to befriend. And I will say to certainly any singles here and those in our other crowd, date. It's not enough to date someone who claims to be a Christian. That standard has dropped way too low. Date someone who's a faithful Christian, who knows their Bible. As a matter of fact, I would say, and I say this to our young folks, don't date someone unless they can pass the three-name test. You say, what's the three-name test? Do they know the answer to these questions? Who wrote the book of Romans, who wrote the book of Acts, and who wrote the book of Revelation? Unless they know the answer to those questions, girls shouldn't go out with them, and guys shouldn't ask them out if they don't know that. I know that sounds pretty terrible, but they can always blame the preacher. Scott Lake say, our pastor says we ought to only date faithful believers, not just professing believers. And any believer that doesn't know who wrote Romans and Acts and Revelation, you probably aren't studying their Bible, and they're not committed, you probably don't need to go out with them on a date. Now, by the way, Christian, I will say, make sure you know the answer to those three questions before you give them, lest you say Moses, Jesus, and Isaiah, and they say, that's right, what time would I pick you up? Don't do that route. Now, I know when you say this, when you say something like this, this sounds awfully strict. Some will say, wait a minute, preacher, if I only pick faithful believers to befriend or date, man, I'm not going to have any friends, I won't have any dates. Well, it's better than having bad friends and people that pull you in the wrong direction. Now, I agree that as Christians, we ought to be building bridges to those that are without Christ, that aren't Christians yet. I got it, I agree. But friend, for close friends, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked. Make sure that you don't yoke up with those who aren't believers, who are committed and godly. A close friendship requires a common faith. Common faith requires a growing faith, and that requires faithfulness. And while a believer can grow in their insight and knowledge of the Bible now, odds are they're as faithful now as they were in the past, and they'll do later what they're doing now, even if they need to grow in their faith now. Here's an example of what I'm saying. Isn't it amazing how many critics are coming out against Tim Tebow, saying all kind of bad things about him because he's come back in the NFL? I can't wait till he catches that first TD reception for the Jaguars, kneels down and thanks God, and the critics all go crazy. Do I think he's going to take a knee and pray when he catches that first reception? Absolutely. And I'm glad that he does, and I'm glad that he will. People do later what they've done in the past and what they're doing now. That's the point. It's true in the spiritual realm, and it's true in general life. The number one characteristic to look for in a friend is faithfulness. Characteristic number one to look for in a mate or a spouse is faithfulness. The Apostle Peter knew Silas well, and he knew that Silas was a faithful brother. When our graduates leave for college, they don't just need Christian friends. They need committed, faithful Christian friends, meaning godly, practicing Christian friends who don't go clubbing and tailgating and keg partying, even if you ask them. Why? It's because faithfulness to the Lord, first and foremost, is their priority, and they're able to be faithful to the Lord, and they're able to be faithful friends, and they're able to be faithful husbands and wives. That's the first character quality anyone needs for seeking out friends. Are they faithful believers? Not just believers, faithful believers. That's number one. Number two, the question to ask is, are they fearless believers? They have conviction. They stand for their faith. Fearless believers. 13 verse phrase, first phrase, she who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings. Stop there. The she who was in Babylon, chosen together with you, represented believers in Rome. Believers who lived in a city where it cost you something to take a stand for Christ and be a real Christian. It's believed that Peter wrote his first epistle in 63-64 AD when Nero ruled the Roman Empire as the Caesar. Now that might not mean a lot to us until you realize the kind of paranoid lunatic Nero was. I mean, this guy was crazy. When Nero's mother, Agrippina, tried to control him, Nero figured he would kill his own mother. Poisoning and stabbing seemed a little too conspicuous, so he'd build her a boat with lead tiles in the ceiling, and as they slept on the boat overnight, the ceiling tiles were supposed to fall and crush and crash on and kill his own mother. That's the kind of guy that he was. But the tiles landed on someone else in the boat and killed them and not Agrippina, Nero's mother. But the lead tiles fell through the floor of the boat and it sank the boat, but Nero's mother was a good swimmer, so she swam to shore, at which Nero sent three assassins to kill her with knives, which they did. I share that with you just to kind of remind you of what it was like being a Christian in ancient Rome in 64 AD under the lunatic Nero. Especially after a fire swept through the town of Rome and destroyed the Circus Maximus where the horses raced. And the Roman historian Suetonius said most Romans believed Nero started the fire so he could build himself a golden palace, a golden house. Nero said the fire was started by Christians, of course, when the heat came down on him. So Christians were rounded up, arrested, fed to wild beasts. Some were crucified, and some were used as human torches to light his gardens. Point being a Christian in Rome at the time Peter wrote this was a dangerous thing to be. Just as being a believer in the ancient literal Babylon in Nebuchadnezzar's day was a dangerous thing to be. Nebuchadnezzar tried to make Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, good little Babylonians for propaganda purposes. Problem was, Daniel and his three friends, they didn't want to be used for propaganda. And so Nebuchadnezzar tried to destroy their heritage and their faith by giving them a new home, new knowledge, new diet, new names, new religion. The young men stood firm in their convictions. They refused to be pressed into the world's mold. And that's what we, Christian, we need to be, the same kind of godly believers with convictions. Whether you're going to a secular college campus or whether you're at your job, we need to be refusing to be pressed into the world's mold. Babylon and Rome are real, and they represent the hostility against our faith that we encounter, but we have to refuse to be pressed into the world's mold. Our graduates will need friends with spiritual convictions who will not be pressed into that mold, and you do too. Romans 12:1 says, "Don't let the world press you in its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Get some conviction about you. Get some backbone about you. Make sure the Christian friends you get have conviction and backbone. Our faith should be more than just some religious sentiment we drag out on Sundays. It ought to be a conviction that changes our lives Monday through Saturday. Fox's Book of Martyrs tells us some of the names of believers in Rome who refused to deny Christ and refused to recant of their Christian faith, and they were used as human torches in Nero's gardens and fed to the wild beasts. There were those like Erastus, the treasurer of Corinth who came to faith in Christ under Paul. Aristarchus, the Macedonian, Trophimus, who was led to faith by Paul. And Paul was accused of bringing him into the temple, but he didn't do that. Joseph called Barsabbas, Ananias, the pastor of Damascus. Add to these names Paul in 66 AD, who was stoned, and Peter, 67 AD, crucified upside down in Rome. True to our Lord's prophecy in John 21, Peter did stretch out his hands, and that happened under Nero because they refused to deny Christ. They refused to back down in their faith. They refused to worry about what someone might think. And so, Christian, we need to be seeking friends who aren't afraid to stand up for Christ. Friends who will stand up for Jesus. The old hymn says, "Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose and dare to make it known." At college or work or school, every believer needs godly friends. Godly friends who are faithful. Godly friends who are fearless. Number three, godly friends who are forgiven believers. Forgiven. Look at the last phrase of verse 13. "And so does my son Mark." This Mark was John Mark, Barnabas's cousin, the writer of the third gospel, who went with Paul and Barnabas on that first missionary journey. But when things got a little bit tough, old John Mark packed his bags and went home, causing stress between Paul and Barnabas. And Barnabas said, "Let's forgive him, give it another chance. Let's give him a second chance." Paul said, "No way, no way." So the two split up, they went different ways. In Paul's mind, John Mark failed. So John Mark went with Barnabas to Cyprus. And of course, Paul took Silas. But the good news is, that's not the end of the story. Years later in Philemon 1:24, Paul called John Mark a fellow worker. Near the end of Paul's life, 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul asked Timothy from prison, "Get John Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in the ministry." No doubt about it, John Mark had been forgiven for deserting Paul and Barnabas. But now this forgiven brother in Christ could be used, and he was a godly friend who was forgiven. So Christian, don't just look for perfect friends. They don't exist, and I'm not one either. Look for friends who are truly forgiven, who know when they do wrong, they've done wrong, who confess it to God, who learn from their mistakes and sincerely don't want to go back to the old actions that got them in trouble, back to the old lifestyle that almost destroyed them. Don't choose friends that are perfect because they don't exist. Choose those who know they've done wrong but are forgiven. Not someone who knows how strong they are, but someone who knows how weak they are. Someone who knows from apart from the grace of God in their lives, they'd be just as lost and perhaps dead as someone else. But they know God's given them a second chance. Remember the 18-year-old girl in the car with Laura Gorman? The girl who actually drove the car the night she and Laura went nightclubbing in Ybor City years ago? Well, her name is Jessica Rasdell, and this story does have a happy ending. Jessica's the one who drove the car under the influence that killed her best friend Laura. As a part of the plea deal, Jessica served 4 years at the Lowell Correctional Institute in Ocala, Florida. After her 4 years, as part of the plea deal, Jessica now travels around to schools to warn students not to drink and drive. I hope she also tells them, don't drink at all. Ethanol is toxic poison. I know you know that. At her talk, she tells students, I'm going to wake up every day for the rest of my life knowing I killed my best friend. Now, I read as much as I could find about Jessica Rasdell. She's been on ABC 2020, Netflix, MTV. I didn't see anywhere in her bio or anything I could find where she's a professing Christian, makes a profession of faith. I would like her to know that Jesus can forgive her and save her and give her eternal life in heaven as he can for all of us. But more than that, she can still be the friend that she needed that night when she and Laura went to the nightclub. By faith in Christ, Jessica can be forgiven, given a new purpose, far better than the purpose of most at secular universities. Not all, praise God, but most. She can live her life for the one who's promised, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And Christian, if you've never been forgiven, you can be forgiven this morning too. You can live your life for Jesus 100% regardless of what you do as a vocation. It's important to look for godly friends who are faithful, fearless, and forgiven. But it's important to be one too. We need to be one for those around us. Yes, bad company makes for bad morals, and good company makes for good morals. And we always become like those with whom we associate. That is true. The point is, be very careful about your friends. Very careful. Don't settle for friends who aren't faithful, fearless, and forgiven. Because the truth is, dear friend, our lives might depend on our friends one of these days. Make sure you choose the right kind of Christian friends. We ought to be firmly anchored to godly friends and know what they look like so we'll know where to anchor. That's my message this morning. I pray that God will bless you from this. Let's pray. Father, I pray if there's one here in this early audience this morning, one watching online that has never received Christ as their Lord, their Savior, their King, they've never had all their sins forgiven and washed away and made clean, never turned from the old life and turned to faith in Christ and a new way of living, today that would be the day that they would do that. Lord, for one that might need to rededicate themselves to you, that might need to just recommit themselves to you, to be serving you in the time they have, and God, I pray you'll just speak to them right now in this time. Maybe one, perhaps, Lord, that needs to transfer their church membership to Scott Lake. They will join along with us and serve as we serve and live for you, work together to use their spiritual gift to minister to others in this church body. I pray you'll let them know this is where you want them to be. Thank you, Father, for the awesome privilege of being able to share your word today. Thank you for Silas. Thank you for those who were faithful in Rome. Thank you for the restoration of John Mark, what it means. God, I pray you'll work in our hearts today. Give that one that has a decision that needs to be made the courage and freedom to make it right now. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to do something we haven't done in over a year and a half. We're going to stand and have a gospel invitation. And I'll be at the front this morning. I'll have my mask on. And I've been vaccinated, so you're safe. Well, I think so. But if there's a decision you need to make today, now's the time to make it. I'll be here at the front. We're going to sing 329, my favorite invitational hymn, Grace Greater Than All of Our Sin. Let's stand together for a decision you need to make. Why don't you come forward right now? I'll wait for you.